Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, March 3rd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe has dismissed the growing suspicions that his wife Grace might be angling to succeed him.
I think that it is strange that the president would assume that anybody would believe that at all, because the first lady has made a lot of maneuvers, has been repositioning herself. The conference last year of ZANU-PF.
A leader of the newly formed Zimbabwe People First, Joyce Mujuru, says President Mugabe is attempting to establish a political dynasty in the country.
I'm sure it's handing the power down from father to wife, to daughter to son. Maybe that's what they want, to make it a dynasty.
Zimbabweans express mixed views over the extension of sanctions imposed on President Mugabe and his inner circle.
Sanctions to Zimbabwe by the government of United States of America is a reflection on Zimbabwe's failure to uphold the principles of rule of law.
And the United States government has provided Zimbabwe with an additional $10 million in response to the worsening food situation in the country. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe has dismissed growing suspicions that his wife, Grace, might be angling to succeed him. Speaking on ZBC today, President Mugabe said such thoughts were baseless. He took aim at those fighting for his position, saying they should back down because he is still in charge. Independent political analyst Nkululeko Kusiwanda says Mugabe's claims that his wife has no presidential aspirations are not convincing.
I think that it is strange that the president would assume that anybody would believe that at all, because the first lady has made a lot of maneuvers, has been repositioning herself. The conference last year of ZANU-PF clearly positioned her for that, for the position of vice president at the very least, by requesting that the women's quota within ZANU-PF presidium be respected, or at least that measures be taken to put that back into effect. So it is very clear that the first lady is positioning herself for a greater role politically, and that role is not very far from the presidium.
He says that those angling to succeed him should back off because he's still there and fulfilling the mandate that he was elected for in 2013. What say you?
I think that that is old say for the president. He said that for a very long time, and I know that he has no option but to say that, you know, that to remain relevant and to look less like a dark horse, somebody who's waiting to leave. And I think it also serves a very good purpose for the first lady, who is his wife, if she wanted to take over, to sort of call off the contest. And while this contest is called over, it will give the first lady some more time to reconsolidate and build herself up to take over. So I think that I expect him to say that so that it strengthens the first lady's position, but also say that so that it strengthens his own position in power right now, because he's been looking more like a dark horse, really.
That was independent political analyst Nkululeko Kusiwanda on the line from England with Ntungamili Nkomo. A leader of the newly launched Zimbabwe People First and former Vice President Joyce Mujuru has emerged emboldened and daring as she raised allegations against the former boss, President Robert Mugabe, and his wife, Grace, like never before. Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakilele report.
In an interview with the Associated Press Wednesday, looking calm but determined to stand her ground, Mujuru took a sharp aim at her former boss in her new role as an opposition leader, challenging his leadership.
I really don't know where the president and his wife wants to take this country to. But the end result is they are actually destroying ZANU-PF. They are destroying the revolution.
Mujuru stuck to her claims that the charges against her, that she was disloyal to the president or planned to topple him, were lies, and that she's just one target of the many former liberation cadres the president and the party have set their eyes on to defame and destroy.
It looks like they're hunting down everybody who took part in the struggle. I, for one, if I want to say that, I did nothing. All those accusations were lies.
Contrary to what President Mugabe has consistently said, with the growing factionalism and infighting in his party, that there are proper channels to address concerns and that members should not shame the party by going public with their grievances, Mujuru said the president is not that accessible and was certainly not to her.
Even when you try and seek for audience to try and reason with him, he does not give you. During the time when I was with him, I asked for that, which never came. That's why I left.
Contradicting her early acknowledgement that she was dismissed by President Mugabe in writing, Mujuru now contends that she left the party on her own volition. She further suggests that President Mugabe is planning to pass on the baton of his legacy to his family.
I'm sure it's handing the power down from father to wife, to daughter to son. Maybe that's what they want to make it a dynasty.
Sparing no punches for the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, with whom she received her PhD from the University of Zimbabwe in 2014, Mujuru suggests that Mrs. Mugabe is the cause of much of what is going wrong in the ZANU-PF party, referencing the peace that existed under President Mugabe's first Ghanaian wife, Sally, who died in 1992.
I'm sure it's the young wife, because when Mama Sally was still alive, things were different. Once this one came, and before she was involved in this politics, I thought she was somebody else who was accommodative, who was a mother of the nation, but only to find she was something else.
The former freedom fighter, who was known in her guerrilla days as Teurai Ropa, is also the widow of Solomon Mujuru, a decorated retired army general whose war name was Rex Nongo. Mujuru died in a mysterious fire in 2011, which Mujuru has now since declared suspicious and pinned blame on someone who she says, quote, knows the people in power. Mujuru says she now stands ready to lead, declaring that she has the caliber of leadership that Zimbabweans need.
Yes, there have been parties, but they've been telling us that in those parties, we have been missing revolutionaries, freedom fighters.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimyake Mwakalielie.
ZANU-PF has dismissed the Miss Mujuru's party, saying it is ready for it. Some Zimbabweans have commended U.S. President Barack Obama for extending targeted sanctions imposed on President Robert Mugabe and his inner circle, noting that local people are still not allowed to exercise their democratic rights by the ruling ZANU-PF party. But others say the restrictive measures are not having any impact on the president and his colleagues. Our correspondent Patricia Mdadigwa reports from Harare.
President Obama extended the sanctions yesterday, saying the political situation has not improved in Zimbabwe following the imposition of the restrictive measures a couple of years ago. In a statement, Obama said the extension of an executive order declared by the former U.S. President, George Bush, is designed to protect United States' interests and promote democracy in the Southern African nation. Mr. Obama said some members of the ruling ZANU-PF government and other persons are still undermining the country's democratic processes and, as a result, contributing to the deliberate breakdown in the rule of law. Reacting to this move, Harare resident Ostalo Sisiba said extension of the sanctions is necessary as Zimbabwe has failed to adhere to democratic principles. He said the sanctions will be a reminder to the government on the need to institute the necessary reforms.
The extension of sanctions to Zimbabwe by the government of United States of America is a reflection on Zimbabwe's failure to uphold the principles of rule of law and the principles of free and fair election. And within the confines of international, it is the key to realize that this country has failed to uphold international law, because Zimbabwe's government officials are responsible for gross crimes against humanity. Therefore, the extension of those sanctions is for them to uphold rule of law. And secondly, it is very key for people to understand that these are sanctions which are targeted towards individuals, so that we avoid actually to the general citizens, they are okay.
Another Harare resident, Ambrose Rusike, said removing the sanctions without reform would be tantamount to encouraging President Mugabe and his team to continue trampling on human rights in the country.
Extension of the sanctions on Mugabe is welcome because Mugabe has shown no desire to reform. There are issues like electoral reforms, the issue is like human rights issues, where we have human rights activists, a journalist come, human rights activist Itai Dzamara is still missing, and the harassment of opposition parties and so forth. So the record is very clear that Mugabe is not reformed.
But local resident Tichawana Makwara said the sanctions are not effective as they give President Mugabe an excuse of failing to run the country.
These sanctions are not serving their purpose because the Mugabe regime is actually blaming the sanctions for everything that they failed to choke off revising the economy, they blame sanctions, deteriorating health situation, lack of drug shortages, they blame sanctions.
Foreign Affairs Minister Simbarashe Mbengegui recently challenged Europe and America to spell out the human rights abuses claims in Zimbabwe.
No reasons are given except the long-worn democracy, rule of law, human rights. We have challenged them on this issue. You can't generalize. Human rights violations are specific. So-and-so's rights are being violated. So-and-so. If you can be able to correct this, then that's fine.
According to President Obama, human rights violations and undemocratic processes in Zimbabwe continue to pose an unusual and extraordinary threat to the foreign policy of the United States. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
The United States government on Thursday provided Zimbabwe with an additional $10 million in response to the worsening food situation in the country. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Speaking at the formal handover of the donation to the World Food Program in Harare today, U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Harry K. Thomas Jr., said President Barack Obama's government was committed to helping vulnerable Zimbabweans. America's top diplomat in Zimbabwe said his government would ensure that food aid reached the needy. This comes at a time when members of the opposition have accused authorities of distributing food rations along partisan lines.
Now, we've been asked a lot lately, how do you ensure that food aid goes to people who need it most? I can assure you that USAID has a robust monitoring system in place to safeguard our food assistance. WFP identifies the most food insecure people through a systematic process, including geographic targeting and community-based assessments. They register and verify beneficiaries using valid means of identification. They then conduct monitoring to ensure that the households most in need receive the aid. USAID has also put mechanisms in place that enable people to report any grievances. There's a suggestion box and a help desk at all food distribution centers.
The World Food Program's country director for Zimbabwe, Eddie Rowe, welcomed the assistance from the American people. Since June last year to date, America has provided $35 million to Zimbabwe towards drought relief.
We are very humbled and honored for the assistance that USAID has extended to the people of Zimbabwe. This generous contribution from the U.S. government will allow us not only to cover the immediate needs of close to 300,000 people, it will also allow us to continue the investment in the households and communities' resilience against future shocks.
Raw said the financial assistance provided by the American government would be used to target three more districts, namely Chipinge in Manicaland province, Mangwe in Matabeleland North, and Uzumba-Marambapfungwe in Mashonaland Central. He added that operations would also be scaled up in eight other districts currently receiving assistance. The Food and Nutrition Council Director, George Campbell, who is also the chairperson of the Zimbabwe Vulnerability Assessment Committee, or ZIMVAC, said the El Nino-induced drought was worsening in the country.
We still have a challenge. SADC is also facing a huge deficit, and preliminary results even from our traditional importing country like Zambia is also showing a significant decrease, 25 to 30% lower than last year. Of South Africa, we rely on South Africa, expecting 25% drop for this year. So what does it mean? Automatically, the price of food is going to go up. Zimbabwe, being a landlocked country, supposed to rely on South Africa and Mozambique to import their food. And those countries also have a deficiency in their country. We mean we begin to compete with the landlord. And we know who is going to win.
Campbell said government was working hard to ensure that all farmers received training in climate change to ensure that the country would be prepared in the future when climate change affects agricultural productivity. ZIMVAC says poor weather conditions in the country, including erratic rainfall and long dry spells, have contributed to large-scale crop failure and livestock deaths across the country. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Coming up, a closer look at the impact of targeted sanctions on President Robert Mugabe and his inner circle. But first, a look at regional and international news. A tech giant Google said today that it is working with the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF, to help map and anticipate the spread of the Zika virus, which is linked to birth defects in children. A military court in Somalia's capital Mogadishu has sentenced to death a former journalist who helped Al-Shabaab kill five fellow reporters in Mogadishu. A former Republican presidential nominee, Mitt Romney, today joined a growing effort trying to halt billionaire Donald Trump's march towards the party's nomination, calling the businessman a phony, a fraud. A white meter-long chunk of metal discovered on the coast of Southeast Africa is being sent to Australia to be tested to determine whether it is part of Malaysia Airline Flight 370, missing for 2 years, and one of aviation's greatest unsolved mysteries. ZANU-PF has allegedly suspended War Veterans Minister Chris Muchangwa following accusations that he convened an illegal meeting of war veterans in Harare last week, which was dispersed by riot police. According to ZANU-PF sources, two other ZANU-PF officials have been reportedly expelled from the party as factionalism ravages the former liberation movement. Two factions, one allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa and another led by a group calling itself Generation 40, said to be led by First Lady Grace Mugabe, are fighting to control the party. Mnangagwa and Ms. Mugabe are said to be harboring presidential ambitions. Zimbabwe is expected to join the rest of the world Tuesday in commemorating International Women's Day. This comes amid calls for leaders to fight for the elimination of child abuse and early child marriages. Glanis Changachirere of the Institute for Young Women Development tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye the organization has lined up a concert to commemorate International Women's Day.
I hope as a society we will be able to do a lot in terms of consciousness raising and facilitating dialogues to ensure that people begin to change their attitudes and behaviors towards the girl child.
The world next week will be commemorating International Women's Day. What is your organization going to be doing?
The Institute for Young Women Development is already excited about the International Women's Day. We are going to have a concert where alongside we have different service providers who will come to provide different services, and young women and those people who are going to join us are actually going to get these services for free.
That was Glanis Changachirere of the Institute for Young Women Development speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Bindura. As indicated earlier on, the Obama administration has extended targeted sanctions imposed on President Robert Mugabe and his inner circle in 2003, saying there are no tangible political reforms in the country. Mr. Obama said the renewal of the sanctions is designed to protect American interests and promote democracy in Zimbabwe, which has been ruled by President Mugabe since the nation attained independence from British rule in 1980. What do Zimbabweans think about the extension of the sanctions? For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF leaning political commentator Gadzira Chirumanzu and Obet Gutu, spokesperson of the MDC led by Morgan Tsvangirai. Chirumanzu says the sanctions are worthless.
This has been an old song, you know, by the Western government. But what we need to understand is that, you know, these sanctions is paid Obama. He is coining them, what Zimbabwe is doing, as a threat to the U.S. government. Now we wonder what kind of a threat is Zimbabwe, you know, posing to the United States of America. So for any, you know, reasonable Zimbabwean who knows what is going on in the political world, this is just, you know, a fussy, and it's the Western government's mentality to make sure they stop any African to think of, you know, possessing easy, you know, wealth in form of resources. Because right now it's a sure case that the Western world, you know, see resources is being depleted every second. And it is only Africa which is still having, you know, quite a chunk of, you know, resources that makes the world go round. And Mugabe has set an example that, no, look, guys, let's take our resources for our own benefit. So, to sum it up, that's the reason why these sanctions have been extended.
And Mr. Kutu, I think you can hear what Mr. Chirumanzu is saying. And taking into account that these sanctions are coming at a time when there is a report that was issued by the crisis group saying that, you know, Zimbabwe is not in a position where, you know, things are normal. So what is your reaction to the sanctions?
Gibbs, it is on record that President Robert Mugabe has always had an extremely low appetite for human rights observance. And it is almost 1 year since the journalist, human rights activist, Itai Zamara, was abducted by suspected state security agents in Glenview on the 9th of March, 2015. But we are surprised as the MDC that almost a year down the line, the ZANU-PF regime seems unfazed, indeed unbothered, about this sad event, the disappearance of Itai Zamara. In fact, they're pouring scorn repeatedly. Pouring scorn on his disappearance, and actually instead of sympathizing with his family, they are adding salt to injury and an injured wound. And this shows that with respect, we're dealing with a regime here that is callous, a regime that is very intolerant. On record that we are facing one of the worst droughts in living memory in this country, and we are receiving reports on a daily basis, Gibbs, throughout the length and breadth of Zimbabwe, that our political party supporters and also supporters of other opposition political parties are being denied by ZANU-PF politicians and ZANU-PF activists purely on partisan grounds. So with respect, although the MDC obviously is not in government, we do not dictate to the U.S. as regards their foreign policy, how they formulate it. But you are saying, yes, we agree with the U.S. assessment to the effect that the political situation in Zimbabwe is far from being stable, that there continues to be gross human rights violations and abuses, and that ZANU-PF regime remains a rogue regime.
Do you agree with that, Mr. Chirumanzu?
The extension of this sanction has got nothing to do with all these so-called human rights violations and so forth. I think Zimbabwe has enough, you know, institutions to deal with the, you know, calamities of, you know, the nation. There are so many commissions that are involved in human rights violations and so forth, and no one in Zimbabwe would support the abduction of any single person for whatever reasons. And I think the government has even put, you know, an amount that anyone who knows what's going on in regard to the issue of Itai Dzamara, he or she must report to the police, and then action will be, you know, taken accordingly. So on the issue of human rights, I think we can just let it go. But the issue is, Obama extended this extension, and I quote in brackets, Zimbabwe is causing and threat the human to the USA foreign policy. The question is, a little country like Zimbabwe, how can it be a threat to USA foreign policy? Full stop. And this has got nothing to do with what is happening in Zimbabwe. That is about its populations and so forth. If we talk of human rights, how many blacks are being shot, point blank, in USA government? And they have done nothing, completely nothing. And this is, you know, taking place day
in
day
out. Could I chip in there, Gip?
The word vagabond, is an English word, meaning that there are so many people in USA that are sleeping under the bridges, and the USA government is doing nothing. So for them to come and shout loudly that, you know, in Zimbabwe there are so many, you know, human rights violations, it is nonsense of the highest order. It is the USA government that is poking its nose in other countries. For example, how many wars were started by the USA government?
Yes, just 1 second. Let's give him a few seconds. Yes.
So this is the issue. So it needs people who are mature to understand what is going on in the political world. The issue here, gentlemen, is the West, including USA government's resources for their economies to tick are depleting on daily basis.
And that's,
it is only in Africa where we have these resources. And Mugabe is the only president who has shown Africa that, look, guys, time is over. We need to start guarding, you know, our resources. For example, how do you explain the situation that in Nigeria?
Gibbs,
you know,
I think I should come in and try to explain some of the distortions.
Yes, Mr. Chirumanzu, let's get in. Mr. Kudu is itching to say something here. Go ahead, Mr. Kudu.
No, but
look,
then
Gibbs,
when he was, you know, when you gave him, you know,
no,
Mr.
Chirumanzu, I think you've gone on and on. This is supposed to be a debate. Give me an opportunity to answer.
Go ahead, Mr. Kudu. We could get back to Mr. Chirumanzu.
It is on record that the ZANU-PF regime, funded by President Robert Mugabe, is a de facto pariah state.
That was Obet Gutu, spokesperson of the MDCT. You also heard from Gadzira Chirumanzu, a ZANU-PF leaning political commentator. Both were speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. For more details on this issue, please visit our website www.voazimbabwe.com.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The people of Malawi may soon have a significant increase in the electrical power they need, thanks to a new agreement between the United States government and the government of Malawi. Malawian Minister of Natural Resources, Energy and Mining, Bright Msaka, U.S. Ambassador to Malawi, Virginia Palmer, and Power Africa Coordinator Andrew Herskovitz signed a Memorandum of Understanding between the United States and Malawi regarding Malawi's continued participation in the U.S. presidential initiative known as Power Africa. Power Africa is a U.S. government-led initiative that helps bring critical power projects online and connects people to electricity by removing barriers, particularly the financial and regulatory roadblocks that have stood in the way of power delivery in sub-Saharan Africa. Power Africa represents the U.S. government's commitment to supporting Malawi to achieve its electrification goals and improve the quality of life for thousands of Malawians, said Ambassador Palmer at the signing ceremony. In Malawi, Power Africa support will complement an existing $350 million grant from the U.S. government through the Millennium Challenge Corporation, aimed at expanding access to electricity in Malawi. The United States is proud to partner with Malawi to help meet the country's electricity needs for a better future for the people of Malawi and Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7's live talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our host of the Women's Roundtable will be talking with listeners and experts about International Women's Day as former Vice President Joyce Mujuru forms a new political party. Now to recap today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe has dismissed the growing suspicions that his wife Grace might be angling to succeed him. Leader of the newly formed Zimbabwe People First, Joyce Mujuru, says President Mugabe is attempting to establish a political dynasty in the country. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.